Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got another great show. Before we get started, I wanted to bring Ashley on to update us as to what's coming up at East SETI. So are you there, Ashley?
Thanks, James, and aloha, everyone. Just a few announcements of what's coming up at East SETI. Now that our season is well and truly underway and we're open, we're looking forward to welcoming you all out to East SETI. First of all, we just want to give a shout-out again to Ted Winslow and remind you all of the special 30% savings on his amazing Solfeggio Frequency albums. We've gotten some great feedback from those of you that have purchased his albums and have used them in meditation and in concentration and are having great experiences. So tedwinslow.com, if you use coupon code ESETI, capital E, capital C, capital E-T-I, not only will you save 30% on Ted's amazing Solfeggio Frequency albums, but Ted has kindly offered to donate $6 of each MP3 album download to the ranch's Night Vision Equipment Fundraising Project. And we're really focusing on getting all this footage available and on our website. That'll be happening over the next couple of months. So don't forget tedwinslow.com and coupon code ESETI for savings on the Solfeggio Frequency albums, which helps support ESETI's Night Vision fundraising campaign. This Wednesday, May 11th, I'm continuing the weekly teleconference healing series. And this coming week, we're really excited. There's been a request or an offer from the Inner Earth Beings. We did a Strengthening Star Family Connections teleconference a couple weeks ago, and now it's the Inner Earth Beings that are going to be making their presence known and during the teleconference calling in their frequencies so you can become familiar with them. We're happy to say that ESETI is now open. This weekend is our actual first Skywatch weekend, and the next two weekends, May 12th to 15th, and May 19th to 22nd are also casual Skywatch weekends when you can come out, stay at the ranch, connect into the Stargate, or stay locally and stay one to three nights, come out and experience Skywatch and the energies of ESETI. The weekend following is James's signature workshop. That's Memorial Day weekend, May 27th to the 29th. The actual workshop is Friday through Sunday. And James is a little bit humble about speaking about it, but this event is perfectly timed with what's happening with this 11th dimensional craft coming in and some of the energy frequencies that we're getting accustomed to. It's really one of the best opportunities to learn from James, to be in his energy and the frequency that he holds, to experience the Stargate of the ranch. And we'll be doing intention experiments and calling in our star family and sky watching. So it's an incredible workshop, great opportunity to connect with others who are on the same frequency as you are, really create that star family on Earth as well as connect to our galactic star family from the multi-dimensions. James is returning to Contact in the Desert. That event happens June 3rd to 6th outside of Palm Springs, California. He'll be doing lectures and workshops and Skywatch and sitting on some panels. So if you're going to be at the Contact in the Desert June 3rd to 6th, make sure you say hi to James. And we really support that event and the work that they're getting out there. Our own conference, ESETI 2016, is being held once again over the July 4th weekend. We've got such an amazing lineup of speakers. Jim Mars, who James interviewed last weekend, the beautiful and wise Laura Eisenhower, Winston Shrout, of course James, Peter Maxwell Slattery and Solrita Antaria from Australia sharing their Down Under galactic experiences, a free energy panel, an experiencers panel new to our event this year, and James's guest tonight, Steve Bowerman, who will be our featured entertainer on Saturday night. During that weekend, it's a great opportunity for community to kind of come together, to skywatch, intention experiments, multidimensional meditations, and just be able to absorb the information from our amazing list of keynote speakers. So more information than any of the events, please go to our event website, which is privateinvitationesetti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationesetti.com. The information on the link to Ted's website for the Solfeggio frequencies is also on there. So we send a big shout out to all of you. Thank you for supporting the Usetti community, and I know you're going to enjoy James's interview tonight. Aloha.
All right. Thank you, Ashley. There's a few things I want also want to bring to your attention. We went through a solar sector boundary crossing. I just got back from the dentist, so bear with me. I feel like Chuck Norris just roundhoused my face. But anyway, on April 29th and the 30th, the Earth crossed a fold in the heliospheric current sheet. And it's a vast wavy structure in interplanetary space separating regions of opposite magnetic polarity. And they call it a solar sector boundary crossing. And, you know, the big warning, they said it could trigger a lot of geomagnetic activity around the Earth's poles. And they said a 60% chance of G1 class geometric storm. So basically, we went through that. And then right behind that, on May 2nd, we went through an interplanetary storm and geomagnetic shockwave that struck the Earth again on May 2nd. So that's 2 days after the space fold above. So it's one of the primary, one of the primary solar watching satellites was damaged in that event. And there's a lot of problems, I guess, on the Earth with a lot of electronics and things like that. So if your bioelectric fields around your body have been getting whacked and it's God's little shock and awe, you know, telling us to wake up and get going. Only difference is he didn't leave depleted uranium all over the planet, but, it's a big wake up call, actually. So, you know, we're going to go through a lot of kind of emotional mood swings and things like that with these energies. A lot of people are going to get really tired. Some people are going to have emotional outbursts. And so when we get into these shock waves and these geomagnetic storms, it does affect us and the planet. So just a little heads up, if people are acting a little bizarre lately, that's pretty much what's going on. There's a lot more going on too, but I want to get to our guests because I know we've got a lot to talk about. So we've got my guest tonight is Steve Behrman, and he's an internationally known author, humorist, workshop leader. And for more than 25 years, he has written, performed as Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comic. And Swami's comedy has been described as both comedy disguised as wisdom and wisdom disguised as comedy. Noted author Marianne Williamson calls him the Mark Twain of our generation. And since 2005, Steve has written a political blog with spiritual perspective, Notes from the Trail. And his latest book, written with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, is Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. Awesome. But love Bruce. He's always great. I'm going to skip. There's a lot more on here, but I'm going to skip it because I want to get to Steve and bring him on the show. I don't know, Steve, do you want me to refer to you as Steve or Swami Beyondananda? So are you with us?
Yeah. Absolutely. As a multiple personality and the fact that we are here on radio, I can change costumes immediately. So the Swami is here. I'm here. Certain questions you can address to the Swami. If you want to talk about the general power of humor, you can talk to me. The Swami will answer or evade any questions that you might have. If you have an answerable question, he will have a questionable answer for you. So, your choice. We can jump right in and talk about a little background and so on, or you can simply jump in and ask the Swami anything.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's like, where do we start here? I'd like to go into the book that you did with Bruce. I love Bruce. I've had a few encounters with Bruce. He's quite a character too.
Close encounters with Bruce Lipton. I saw that movie. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it myself.
I imagine you two together would be quite a tag team going on, but I'd like to be in the room when that happens.
by listening to the in addition to the book Spontaneous Evolution that Hay House published, Sounds True created a six CD set of Bruce and I talking our way through this book. It's like six 80-minute CDs, so do the math. It's a long piece. And just give you a little background. In addition to doing comedy, prior to that, I was freelance writer, author of serious books on education and social networking and things like that. My background originally is in political science. And to answer your question that you haven't asked, no, I never quite got as far in political science to actually dissect a politician in poli-sci lab. We never got that far. Mm-hmm. But I've always been interested, particularly in being exposed to a holistic view of things, of looking at, quote-unquote, the body politic as an entity. And indeed, you know, as Bruce and I began our conversation, which started about in 2005, we became friends and we started a conversation that was originally called the American Evolution, because we both recognized what a breakthrough the Declaration of Independence was in terms of how it really suggested, as the Native American peoples believed, that we are sovereign individuals, the collective, we get to hire, quote-unquote, the government that we desire in order to coordinate and handle our public and collective issues. And we both really recognized the value of that, and we saw that revolution needed to evolve into evolution. And that, you know, Bruce's background as both a evolutionary biologist really informed him on the subject. And as we began our conversation and we rolled it out, and this is one of the major theses of the book, is that the next phase of human evolution is recognizing that we are a singular species, a singular organism, a superorganism called humanity, and we're each and all cells in that organism. And, of course, Bruce, we didn't go quite so far in spontaneous evolution. We just kind of suggested at the end. But then in the even larger evolutionary scheme of things and the fractal repeating patterns that reverberate throughout time and space and the universe, that then, at a certain sense, the Earth itself and our collective consciousness of this planet would then join in a larger organism of planets and galaxies and so on. And it's simply a matter of how much can our consciousness hold. And so the small, modest step, and we're really up to this right now, given the level of planetary crises, is that we are about to recognize ourselves as cells in this larger superorganism, humanity. And paradoxically, and I know you'll understand this, the more we cooperate, the more community we have, the more free we become. The more free we become of tyranny, the more free we become to be who we really are in our fullness, and the more free we are from the lesser conflicts that have kept us separated and have used up most of our resources until now. So, I mean, that's the basic thesis of the book. Mm-hmm. It's a long book. Bruce and I had a fabulous time laughing and yeah, our way through this project. If you know Bruce, you understand that. And
yeah,
and so it's really an interesting way to take what he has learned through biology of belief and apply it to our collective belief.
Yeah. I was looking at I don't know this. I try to stay out of politics because, you know, not to put a downer on it, but it's, you know, basically they put on a great show and then they install whoever they want, you know, and that's
the puppet show.
Yeah, and that's been going on for so long, and then we get somebody in there we think is really going to change things, and they make all these promises, and then they take them downstairs and show them the Magruder film and say, this is where you're going to end up. You know, you're going to end up like President Kennedy if you don't do what you're told, you know, and that's basically what's been going down. But I think we're on the edge of something, a huge, hopefully an evolution, and hopefully it doesn't get into an ugly revolution. But I know we're definitely on the fold of something very big, you know, coming down, where hopefully we'll stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right about that. What my jokey way of describing what we're going through right now is an evolutionary upwising, uh-huh. where we're waking up and wising up to the kind of game that you just described, the puppet show. You know, mm-hmm. where, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know,
yeah.
you know, and the man behind the curtain, you know, it's nothing but the man behind the curtain. So the fact that the body politic is beginning to wake up, and, you know, it looks like, I mean, if you look at it a certain way, not that I'm a big fan of Donald Trump, I think that he, mm-hmm. you know, primarily represents the, you know, the last vestiges of a reptilian, But I think that, you know, however, the fact that the people over on that side are not going for the prescribed corporate neocon candidate is a positive indicator that they recognize that there is a problem. There's a situation, and that, you know, they're not going to, they don't want the status quo. And over on the other side, there's phenomenon, the Bernie Sanders campaign, up against, you know, one of the most powerful political machines in the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody who's been preparing for this for many, many years, and his campaign simply won't quit, because awakening people, particularly young people who are going to live in this world for the next 50, 60, 70 years, they're going, we're not going to take the status quo, because the status quo is taken us towards environmental destruction and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an awakening, and I think part of the focus of the awakening is the question: how do we? What is it that will bring us together in this evolutionary phase, so that we do recognize that we're all on the same mm-hmm. team, that we're all in this together, and that we're an organism, and so much of what we've been doing could be called autoimmune disease. You know, that we've been,
yeah.
you know, we could kill off our whole species that way.
Well, I think the Earth is going to give us that. I think she's going to give us a big unifying wake-up call, you know, with her movement, which just seems to be expanding. And along with that, there's a few other things. I think we're going to have some pretty big things coming out of the heavens that people are going to have to unify around. But, you know, I'm all for going back to universal law and just sticking to the basics. And I love the old Cherokee tradition. They say if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. You know, it's really that simple.
Yeah, and what we've been through, what I loved about working with Bruce is that in reflecting on history from an evolutionary standpoint, you see that there's nothing wrong. That it's simply an unfolding. Word for evolution could be called mm-hmm. learning. So what we call evolution has been the unfolding learning process of our consciousness on this mm-hmm. planet. Everything that we've gone through has been a necessary, we tried that. Oh, that didn't work. And so now we're finally at the point where, as the Swami would tell us, always shift or get off the pot.
Well, yeah,
if you need pot to shift, then well, stay on pot. We don't care. But the point is, you know, that we are at a point where and people are noticing this. I'm sure that you're seeing this from the people that you know. All of the things that used to work aren't working anymore. I tried that little area of self-deception. That little area of self-deception, that can't do that anymore. All of the old highways, pathways, roads, rivers are closing down to us, and it's simply requiring a kind of emergence to where we emerge in something that we've never been before. And, you know, some could find that very, very scary, and some would find that very, very exciting. But the kinds of things that perhaps the Earth has in store for us, and is already happening, they say that necessity is the mother of invention, and Mother Earth is one mother, you know? So these things are already beginning to happen to us. Some of them obviously precipitated by human behavior, mm-hmm. and some of them simply part of the universe unfolding.
Yeah, I was talking about, you know, about the politics things. I keep having this vision of Hillary with all of these skeletons trying to get out of the closet, and she's just trying to shove the door closed, you know, saying nothing to see here, folks, and you know, not I mean, I really don't like to get into politics, but just knowing the history there and what's been going on, it's like, I just think all those skeletons are going to come out, and there's no way she can keep them out of the closet, you know. And so that's going to be really interesting.
Well, you know, the thing is that when people say, because that's been, I mean, I know people who have that attitude about politics, which I respect, and, you know, we want to talk this and, oh, we don't want to go there. And I say, well, I've got news for you. There has already come here. So
yeah.
The influence that these nefarious things have had on us are, in many ways, have been blocking forces to cooperation, to doing some of the things that we know are possible, to fulfillment of our destiny as a species. And so all of these things are up for grabs. And, you know, this is really a lesser of two evils campaign, or maybe there's no lesser, you know, but the point is that we've got, you know, the various evils of different branches of the power structure. Mm-hmm. And at least in the Bernie movement, I see an awakening of a way of moving forward, of restoring some of that. If it ain't good for all of us, it ain't good for it ain't good. Mm-hmm. And that kind of what you called natural law, which has been superseded by unnatural law, legalized lawlessness, however you want to call it, and. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're coming up toward that, and I mean, I guess the Swami would say that you tend to have a far out perspective on this. So I'm always curious about, you know, what's the far out perspective, because, you know, people have been trained to look very, very, very close in, to keep their eye on the puppet show and look beyond that. So I'm always curious to hear what you say about the bigger picture.
Yeah, it's going to get really interesting here. What I tell you, what I found out with I'm in contact with the head of the Golden Dragon Society, which is the guy that really makes the decisions, you know, on what goes down over there. But nothing moves without him. And you've got the Red Dragon, the White Dragon, all these global resets and things like that. A lot of those things are happening. They aren't happening as quick and as fast as people would like them to. And there's a lot of false announcements about these things.
Well, you know what the Swami would say?
Yeah.
Well, the Swami would say, oh, those dragon people, what are they going to dragon their asses, are they not?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know who's really dragging their ass is us. I mean, America.
That's right. That's really
all the other countries are getting on the bandwagon, and they want to create a whole new global economy that's much more fair and much more, you might say, user friendly for the people on the planet. And the ones that are putting the monkey wrench on everything is us. You know, the global elite,
right.
That you know, the Federal Reserve and those guys. Which, I mean, they're pretty much done. I mean, their program is finished. They're not even frequency specific to the planet anymore and where it's going. So their game's over. There's just a few holdouts there, but they've been checked and checkmated, and they're trying to bow out now, I guess. So that's,
I guess, they don't realize that their license is expired. Their license is expired. They're driving around without a license and pretty soon without a car. So I like hearing that, and I've heard that from various sources, you know, from the Thrive people, from Gordon Davidson. So I'm hearing rather similar things from different sources, which is, you know, confirming.
Yeah, and what I like about it too is that, like, NASA and all these other people, you know, never a straight answer is what we call them, but they're actually putting out the graphs and everything of the energy coming into the planet right now, and the influx of gamma rays and cosmic rays and X-rays, and all of that is just off the scale. And so the Earth has to adjust to it, and us being on Earth, we have to adjust to it. But they're actually putting out these graphs on what's going on, but they're not explaining how that affects consciousness or the physical body or the Earth itself. They're not covering any of that. They're just saying, well, here's the graph, and You guys figure it out, I guess.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's part of one of the things that I'm doing. We haven't really gotten to this yet, and the Swami, he is a very, very patient Swami. He's transcended his ego, but we can hear from him. But one of the great things that we have in these times where we seem to be between two paradigms, there is so much irony and contradiction and so on that, yeah, in a certain regard, we need humor to explain it, because there are so many things that are just, it's like that, you can't make this up. There are so many things out there, yeah, you can't make it up. The absolute, craziness of things, the insanity of the existing paradigm of misunderstandings, and yeah, how they're trying to, in a way, defend their ways of thinking and so on, that humor, because humor really brings together things that are unrelated and shows a new relationship between them. Mm-hmm. Humor has become the new way of receiving news. And so that's been the area that I've been focused on primarily for most of the last 30 years is, how do we take these serious things, or things that people take seriously, yeah, and translate them into humor so that people recognize the crazy irony, laugh together, bring more oxygen to their brains, and in the process, instead of being in the fight or flight, reptilian brain, allow themselves to be in the forebrain and come up with some really deep breakthrough solutions to our problems. So I know it's easy to not take humor seriously, but I think that that's really an avenue that's very fruitful for helping people make the shift in these times that are moving quickly with us or without us.
Well, I've seen these beings that I've been working with, these other dimensional beings, and the higher you go up the dimensional ladder, you might say, it seems like the more humor there is, until you get in the plane of bliss, where these guys are just pure joy and bliss and nothing affects them. And so I do think humor is such a valuable tool in getting people, out of their programs, kind of shocking them out of the old paradigms and looking at things and without fear. And sometimes you do just have to make a joke about things. I'm sure you do it too. I often push people's buttons on purpose using humor to get them past whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of an awakening thing that you do. It's called, my website's called Wake Up Laughing.
I've been accused of being a bit of an imp, in certain in certain situations. But it's funny that I'll get people laughing at their situation or their problem and then interject something in there, through humor, and it does seem to solve it much faster than hanging out in that piousness or that heavy, serious frequency.
Well, it breaks the energy, and I just did it with my wife, Trudy. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And, when you're with somebody for a long time, we love each other. We have a lot of fun. But there's always going to be one trait that they have that's going to drive you crazy. That's just part of how it works and part of how we work here and on this plane. And the thing about her is that she's always the last one to leave an event. And so I'll walk outside. I'm thinking she's behind me, and she's never behind me. So I've learned that I have to keep her in front of me. If I want to be the one to leave, I have to keep her in front of me. And the same is true for going somewhere. So, we're going out for a walk last week, and I'm like a dog. I'm a dog. I'm like, let's go. I've got the leash in my mouth. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So I'm standing outside by the car waiting. And I start, this little irritation starts to well up in me. We all know where that's going to go, right? You with your partner. It's the same. It's always the same argument, really. And I went, wait a minute. Where's the joke hidden in this picture? I know that there's a joke hidden in this picture. And then finally, I go, ah. So I walk into the house, and she's still there getting ready, and I look at her. With my arms are open, I'm smiling, And in a very loving way, I say, I've been waiting for you my whole life. And she laughed, and I said, and you're totally worth waiting for. And we turned this moment that could have been an argument about, come on, into totally changed my energy. It totally changed her energy, and it brought us into an entirely different place. You know, so I think that in our human relations, when we learn to use that tool to not put somebody down, but to playfully make a joke about the situation that we find ourselves in, a particular human situation, and we laugh together at that joke, then all of a sudden things, the tension dissolves and we have more resource to actually enjoy ourselves, or if it's a problem, do something about the problem. Are we there?
Yeah, something happened.
Okay, because sometimes my phone does funny things, and I can't. I'm not looking at the phone. So,
yeah.
Thank you for being with me. Yeah, in radio they say we don't like dead air, so we want all of our air to be live.
Yeah, I don't. Could you tell where we disconnected there? I was saying something that got cut off, but I guess it doesn't matter. But anyway, relationships are rough right now. I know so many people that everything is coming up and they can't shove things under the rug anymore. And, you know, these energies are affecting people's, you know, bioelectric fields around their body. They're bringing up all their old, you know, programs that are in their fields that are no longer, you know, frequency specific to the evolution of Earth. And do you have any suggestions in helping people get through these times?
Well, first of all, I have to confirm what you're saying, that I'm finding that there were physical conditions, you know, things that have been buried in my body and Trudy's body that are coming to the surface, you know, and my physician here, my naturopathic physician goes, yeah, it's coming to the surface because in what you've done with your body to upgrade all of the things you've upgraded, that can't live in there anymore. And one of my favorite sayings, it's kind of an ironic saying, it's the truth shall upset you free. And sometimes, you know, we've lived, it's very easy to live untruth because so much of our civilization is based on untruth. In the violation of the natural laws, et cetera, you have to, in a way, you have to be dishonest. If you're in certain business situations, you have to be dishonest. You have to turn your head away, when you see something that's corrupt, when you see something that's negative, you know, and then you have to deal with people who say, well, that's how we do things around here. So what's happening is that these things, these chickens are coming home to roost, and these things are surfacing. So first of all, coming from the perspective of what I would call cosmic comic consciousness.
Is Doug there?
We're here. Somewhere else? Okay. What I call cosmic comic consciousness, something that happened a few years ago, I met somebody who was an interpreter, and one of the hardest things to translate from one language to another is humor, because it's language-specific, it's culture-specific, and so on. And so she was she was translating somebody's speech, who's interpreting, and he told a joke. And she translated it, and everybody laughed, and he was very impressed with this. And afterward, he went, wow, you know, it's not easy to translate humor. How did you translate that joke? And she said, oh, I just said, it's a joke, laugh. That worked, you know? So yeah. I went, that's a very interesting mantra. So the first thing that I do when something comes up that's vexing, I'm not talking about a life-threatening situation. I'm talking about a last-threatening situation, mm-hmm. something that's upsetting. I say, it's a joke, laugh. I say that to myself, and I often don't believe it right at the beginning, because when something comes up that is an emotional, you know, just like we have physical cleanses that we go through, and something comes up, like I feel like I have to throw up. We have emotional cleanses, and these, as you said, these thoughts, beliefs, ideas, energy fields, miasms, whatever you want to call them, that have been with us and can no longer tolerate the frequencies that we are, that the Earth is calling us toward. Those things come up, and when they come up, they don't just come up as an idea or as a concept. They come up as a feeling. And we're in them. We think that they're real. So to do an intervention, when something feels like it's really threatening, like there really is a monster, mm-hmm. It narrows your focus of attention like a hypnotic trance would. And if you can simply do the intervention of saying the words to yourself, it's a joke, laugh, you may have to say this several times before you actually take the moment to breathe. And breathing is very important. It's the key to long life, right? Mm-hmm. You keep breathing, yeah. That's how to live a long time. So what happens is when you say something like that, you stop. You can't really turn the train around until you stop the train. And you know how these emotional hijackings, they're on like this one track headed for a train wreck. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to do a intervention by saying, it's a joke, laugh, and then you're beginning to breathe. You allow yourself.
Yeah. I have this friend, he goes, I'm just sitting here. That's what he says. Yeah. You know, people are wigging out, you know, and all their stuff's coming out, and he's just sitting there, and he doesn't say anything. And he goes, well, I'm just sitting here, you know. And that's kind of interesting.
That's exactly right, because, you know, why is it the people who are around the Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi, people who've seen the Dalai Lama, these people laugh for no reason. They just mm-hmm. burst out laughing. What's he laughing at? and they're basically laughing at we silly geese who are, who are taking seriously these really very insignificant ego slights. We are imagining who we think we are. You know, we're imagining that we're our personalities. We're imagining that we have these smaller selves, these little suits that we've taken on without recognizing, you know, that we're much bigger than that. And we get so caught up in these little snips, you know, which is why I think situation comedies are a delivery system for Buddhist teachings in that. Buddha said life is suffering because of our attachments. And mm-hmm. when we're watching comedy like that, it's exaggerating all of these attachments, or there's a laugh track to kind of pull us in. And they're reflecting back to us how insane our attachments are.
Yeah.
I like Muktananda. He said, life is a joke, treat it as such.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's always worked for me.
I'll remember that quote.
I see what's happening right now with so many people is that they're in the personality. They haven't gotten beyond that. But there's this major sense of entitlement and a need to be right happening. And I've been observing this. I've just been sitting back and observing this. I went to this one conference, and it was interesting because this one woman, I'll be straight up with this one woman, accused me of having all these young girls going into my room, a whole flood of young girls going into my room and you know, whatever, having sex with them and everything else. And I just went, damn, where was I when this happened? You know, it's and it was really funny. And I was trying to go, how in the hell could she come up with that? You know, the only thing I did is the event coordinators came to my room, and we did some clearing work, you know, to help the conference, you know, stay clear. because there were some really weird energies, interfering energies there. And that was the extent of it. And I'm going, how in the heck could she have gotten that perspective on that? You know, and why is she so angry and you know, loaded for bear, you know, and on the attack? And you know, I was looking at this thing and trying to wrap my head around, okay, what is really going on here? And I thought, well, the only way that she could come up with that perspective is that, you know, she must have been like a working at the conference or whatever. She must have been right at the desk, you know, which is right in front of the elevators. And so when I'd come out, you know, people want to talk to you or ask you questions or something, they would catch you, you know, and I'm going up the elevator to grab something for the next presentation or for the booth, you know, or something like that. And so people would jump in the elevator and they'd talk to me and they'd get off on another floor or something like that. And I'd go get my thing and go on. And, you know, it was really interesting. It was really interesting. And, you know, all of this stuff was made up and all of this energy behind it and everything else. And I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? This woman must have been really victimized. And maybe she was tossed out for a younger woman or something. Something's going on there, but she has a real victim program that she believes that she needs to defend, you know, and stop this projected behavior. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm single. You know, I'm single. I'm male. You know, I don't deny my maleness. But in a way, I wish a lot of these things, you know, would be kind of cool to happen, you know, but
yeah. Where was I? Lucky. I think that's a great joke. Where was I when that happened? Why was I not in my room when this was going on?
Yeah, I know. I missed all that, you know. So, but I mean, I just had to laugh about it because it got so ridiculous. And, you know, I've had things thrown at me that it got so ridiculous because there was a website, I guess, that somebody put out. And they put all this stuff where they had the record on me that I was a pedophile, you know, and all these things. And so, unfortunately, they misspelled my name and they had my name wrong and they had the middle name wrong, too. You know, so I had to put my driver's license. I had to scan it and put it up to show, like, look, you know, whatever record you're looking at has nothing to do with me. You know, never got an apology out of that. But the best one was they said I was part of a Russian bestiality ring. And
well, I have you bared your please bear with me.
yeah. So I go, well, I said, you know, I've never been to Russia and I'm not even sure what goes on in a bestiality ring. But maybe if you could like show me a video or something, you know, or show me a plane ticket or something with me involved, I'd love to see it, you know. But it's just that what I'm seeing now is that I'm just observing these things going on. And I'm going, where are people coming from? You know what? When are we going to start taking responsibility? You know, and be accountable or be stopping. I like what Byron Katie said. You know, she said, "There's your business, there's other people's business, and there's God's business, and other people's business is God's business." You know, but. And if we'd start working that way and work on our own issues and our own problems, we might be able to see clearly rather than projecting all these crazy things on others.
You know, one of my favorite stories in that regard is a guy goes to a psychologist, and the psychologist is doing kind of like a Rorschach kind of test, and psychologist draws a triangle, and he says, "What does this remind you of?" And the guy says, "Sex." And he draws a circle. He says, "What does this remind you of?" And the guy says, "Sex." And finally, he draws a square, and he says, "What does this remind you of?" And the guy says, "Sex." And the psychologist says, "Well, you know, you seem to be kind of obsessed with sex." And the guy says, "What are you talking about? You're the one drawing all the dirty pictures." So there's your projection board. You know, many years ago, I was at a conference in Washington, D.C., and I start talking with this woman, and I mentioned that I had just come from another conference in Michigan, and I mentioned the guy who ran the conference. And she said, "Oh, he's a sexual predator." And I looked at her, and I looked at her name tag, and I said, "You know, There was a party in Ann Arbor, Michigan about 12 years ago, and you said the same thing to me. She didn't know me, but I recognized her name.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered her, and I remembered how disturbing it was that I started a conversation with her, and all of a sudden she turned on me. And then she ended up at another conference a few years after that, and the conference coordinator had to ask her to leave because she was so disturbed and disruptive. So sometimes we don't understand how disturbed people are when they, because again, she looked normal. She looked uh-huh. congruent. But it was only when I looked at her name, I go, boy, I'll never forget that name. And,
yeah.
and I've got a good memory that she accused me of being a sexual. I was sitting and having a conversation with her, and all of a sudden she got this mega projection. So uh-huh. I think that sometimes, again, when you're looking at things that are kind of outside the normal sphere, you're going to get some people who are disturbed. And and so it's hard to tell, because sometimes, people really have had, extraordinary experiences, and some of those are, I don't know if you know, I don't remember his name. He was an archaeologist who started having these anomalous experiences.
Yeah.
Finally, he wrote
Graham
about
Hancock?
It. I'm trying to remember his name. I'll remember it at some point. But he ended up finally writing a book about this. And, he realized he might be jeopardizing his career. Hank Wesselman.
Oh, Hank Wesselman. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And he realized that he may be jeopardizing his career by writing about this, but he could not write about it. And he wrote the book, and he gets a call from some psychologist or psychiatrist in New York, and who says, I would like to study your brainwaves, after reporting all of these anomalous parallel life going on in Hawaii and all this stuff. So he went there, and this doctor, did this and looked at the brainwaves. He says, I've only seen this brainwave pattern in two other kinds of situations. One of the situations was, the people who are like the yogis who can slow their breath and heart rate and so on. And the other is in people who have reported being taken aboard spacecraft.
Yeah.
So again, these anomalous circumstances, they seem really, really, really outside the pale until it happens to you. Until you go through it, or until you have somebody that you trust so much who's gone through it that you go, I've had to really realign my definition of reality in order to encompass this.
Well, I know a lot of people, rather than, you mirror back to people that maybe their lives might be a little boring or not much going on, so they're secretly jealous. And so rather than change their life, and start, expanding, they'll try to tear your program down or falsify it. But, we had the same thing happen here. We had all these scientists come out, and they brought Harry, I think it's Oldfield's PIP technology. And and so when we started doing the clearing work and the counseling work, they go, oh, my God, the whole room changed. And every time I said a group came in, a different group, the whole energy in the room would change, and they'd film it and document it. And when I told them this is like a golden goddess energy coming in, the whole room turned gold, and they totally validated everything that was happening there. And it's happened three or four times where they've brought technology up and totally, proved. And we have photographs of like Mary and Kuan Yin and Babaji and other beings actually appearing here and taken by guests and monks and things like that. So, there's a long list of evidence validating these things, but, and then the video of the ships, we just have boxes and boxes, and it's all up on the site and everything of massive light ships coming over and powering up. But I find out, the more outrageous your life is, and even though you can prove it, you're going to have those who are going to attack you and try to make you wrong because they don't want to step out of their box, you know, or they don't want to, you know, admit to the fact that, you know, they probably live a pretty boring life, you know.
Well, you know, the Muktanandas in the world and the, you know, the Dalai Lamas and the Maharishis, you know, they really don't have a reality to defend. You know, they're beyond having to defend the reality so they can be real in a certain regard, you know. And that reality is, it can be threatening to people because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people's smaller world is being overshadowed, and it's good that these guys like that. I never met Muktananda, but I understand he could zap you with shakti pot. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they say that the only thing the ego doesn't need to, you know, the only thing that needs defending is the ego. You know, so, you know, I just sit there and listen to people, and I listen to process, and I listen to their stuff, you know, and just say, okay, well, you know, how's this working for you? You know, and then say,
you know. Does it sound like it's working? It's not working. Well, yeah. Then stop doing it. You know, and but that's the thing that, you know, as we find out, and sometimes it's true of ourselves when we really look at our own shadow stuff, is that we'd rather be right than healthy. You know, we'd rather be right than happy, and part of this liberation that's going on right now, through all kinds of means, is being liberated from beliefs. You know, being liberated from the belief, the limiting beliefs that we've had about who we are as a species. And that's one reason why Bruce and I wrote Spontaneous Evolution. It's because we identify these misperceptions, the things that we've come to believe our culture, society has come to program us with, that's simply not true, that's been disproven by science. But it's kind of like, you know, the world after Copernicus saying, you know, I think the Earth might revolve around the sun here, you know? And
Yeah,
well, I think I'm going to
think about the flat Earth,
before I die, you know?
Yeah, everybody's putting out the flat Earth thing, and they said they have all the math to prove it now. And everything else, and I go, well, you know, I just got back from Australia, and I didn't fall off the edge, so I don't, you know, I know planets are spheres, that's how they're created, and so I have a hard time with that, but it's they're pretty convincing, you know, they really are adamant about proving that the Earth is actually flat.
Well, I think that this is part of what's going on right now. There is so much, you can find evidence for almost anything, and who knows, there may be parallel realities and so on. So for me, and I think, you know, it's what I've come to, is that the only reality is what I feel in my heart. The only solid reality is that power of peace and coherence and so on that I can access. It's always there. I can separate myself from it, but it's always there. And so the reason why those guys like the Dalai Lama and the Amma, the hugging saint, and all of these people can be in those kinds of, or Mother Teresa for that matter, can be in that kind of state of bliss, is because of the channel that they're tuned to internally that is ever-changing, while veils are being lifted, while realities are being shape-shifted by all of the various rugs that we've planted our psychological reality on are being pulled away from us. And, you know, that's why people go through that kind of crazy projection.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. I keep popping off. I've never had so many interruptions before on this. So somebody doesn't want this information out. It's pretty obvious. They don't want people to start.
Oh, he popped up again. We need popovers and not pop-offs. Am I popping on? Oh, well, I think the Swami has something to say about this. Oh, well, I'll tell you. The invisible forces are at work, and what the invisible forces do, because they cannot be seen, they also cannot be heard. So when there is a moment of silence, there is deep, deep silence. That is a place of great peace. And so because our minds have been filled with so much information, we have to use mindfulness to release all of our mindfulness. So I went to a great spiritual teacher, and he told me, he says, you must clear, if you want to actually be peaceful, you must clear your mind of all thoughts and focus on the center of yourself. And I did this, and you'll never guess what happened. I became thoughtless and self-centered. So there you have it. Well, I know I am still going on, but maybe nobody can hear me. I know I'm on the call. Perhaps I am being recorded. And so maybe the silence is coming through. I've been told many times, Swami, you are so full of emptiness. So if you want to be peaceful, yes, be in that space of silence. But then there is the power of laughter, the power of laughter, cosmic, comic consciousness. And what this is powerful because when we laugh, we create these hormones called endorphins, and they make us feel better. What also happens is laughter causes breathing. Yes? And we bring more oxygen to the brain, more synapses synapting. We actually sometimes get an aha after the ha-ha, and then it takes us from our heads into our hearts, and then we have an ah. So,
great.
James, I sense that you're back.
Yeah, I'm back again. This is unbelievable.
From the inaudible and the invisible.
Yeah. Yeah, well, unfortunately, we've got to sign off. We're out of time. I can't wait to see you here at the ranch on the July 4th weekend. And keep up the great work. Keep people laughing. And I know the more you're in your joy, the closer you are to Source. So keep up the great work.
Okay, good. And it's funny coincidence. I know we're out of time, and I am also out of state. So I look forward to seeing you on the fun way. Namaste and namaskar. Goodbye.
All right. Namaste. All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great weekend, and we'll be talking soon. And watch the skies and stay in the heart. Major things unfolding. Good night.